The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu. Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. You can go beyond giving to impact. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
From WABE in Atlanta, this is a special edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Yeah, I like when y'all do that. Broadcasting live from DeKalb County inside Waller's Coffee Shop. It is our monthly series, Coffee Conversations, in partnership with the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. It's a big welcome to everyone who's joining us via live stream. And, of course, everyone here who is in person. This is pretty cool. Does this happen every day at Waller's? Yes? No? They're like, yeah. But it's a packed house. And as we do with all of our coffee conversations, the topics are about you, the community, issues impacting the surrounding neighborhoods, your quality of life, what you like, what you don't like, concerns, challenges, and how great it is to be an unincorporated DeKalb County. Still, like much of the region, many of y'all have emailed or you say, you know what, we are concerned about what's happening with our neighborhood. We love our neighborhood. We'd like to see this, maybe see more of this, less of that. We're going to talk about what all of this is today. We have an incredible lineup of guests. We're going to start with Jason Wall in just a moment. We have the mayor of the city of Decatur, Patty Garrett, is here. A fellow journalist who keeps everybody in the know about DeKalb, Decaturish founder and operator Dan Wisenhunt is here. And who knows, we may venture out into the audience and ask you, the community, your questions. What questions do you have? So we appreciate you all being here on behalf of WABE and the entire Closer Look team, as well as Waller's Coffee Shop. And as we do with every episode, we begin with the people behind the coffee. The owner this time, Jason Waller. Thanks so much for taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Y'all know Jason makes biscuits.
I do, every morning.
Every morning? What time? Yeah. What time you make the biscuits?
Oh, drop the kids off of school around 7, 7.05. I'm here at 7.30 doing biscuits and scones. And I've got two other bakers that give me some relief as well.
Now, let's talk about biscuits for a moment. We're going to get to community issues. But, I mean, biscuits are a community issue because, you know, if you don't make the biscuits right, Jason, you know. So is this a family recipe? Is this a Jason recipe?
You know, growing up, my family would go to my grandmother's house every Sunday after church.
Yeah.
And my grandmother would, she'd always make the biscuits. And how we got to the table was you'd hear her say, biscuits will be ready in a minute. and we'd all get up, wash our hands, you know, maybe not, and go sit down, and we'd all sit down, and we'd, you know, do the blessing, and the biscuits come out hot, and she made her own jam too.
Yeah.
So that's how I enjoyed biscuits. But this is not that recipe. this is just something we've worked up. Boyd Baker, actually, he owns Howdy ATL, mm-hmm. and over by the zoo.
Yeah.
And he was a big help with me in learning baking, so I've just been kind of tweaking it. I want them big and fluffy so I can put sausage, bacon, and cheese and egg and stuff inside it.
And so. I had one. Yeah, I had one earlier. It's a big biscuit. It's big.
Yeah, I like them big biscuits.
Is there a key ingredient that you think people need to understand about making big, fluffy biscuits that folks maybe mess up sometimes?
Oh, gosh.
Come on now.
Buttermilk, vegetable shortening, and butter. I'm loading it up. And that's it, really.
Vegetable shortening and butter?
Yeah, I do like a half and half thing.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I could do all butter, but then they get really buttery.
Yeah.
And then I could do all vegetable shortening, and they're still fluffy. But I like butter. I like butter.
Well, now that we got the biscuit conversation out of the way, let's talk about Waller's for a moment. How long y'all been here?
I've been on the property almost 6 years in August, and we just celebrated 4 years in February open.
Why this community? Why this location?
Nobody wanted this building, and I wasn't. And I was somebody who nobody wanted to rent a building to, and so I just like this place was covered in kudzu. I don't know if y'all remember. 6 years ago, half of the building was kudzu. Most of the property was kudzu. And for that year and a half I spent trying to get open, I was outside taking all that out. Volunteers, friends, family come in and help me transform this property. And it's always been a long shot. And it's always been this like swing for the fence moment in my life. And so I was able to like see the end product, look at this property and see what it could be. No one else saw it, and so I was like, all right, let's make this happen. And why this community? I live here, and I wanted, oh, I'm gonna get emotional, I guess.
It's all right. Go ahead.
I'm a musician as well, and I was walking dogs, and I was walking one day, I was like, why is my life not fulfilling? Why am I not doing the thing that I'm aligned to do? And I turned to my head, to the side, and I saw this for rent sign. It's not this building. This is the third building I tried to get into.
Well, you got a story, Jay.
And I was like, that's it. I wanted a coffee shop, but coffee was always the vehicle for community. I wanted music, art. I wanted mental health focused groups and nonprofit organizations to come and use this place. And I wanted those three aspects. I wanted music, coffee, and mental health awareness. And I think I've done it.
What has this journey been like as a small business owner?
I would say to anyone starting a small business to not do it. I don't know. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. I'm totally not qualified for this, and I have an associate's degree in video production that I got from the Art Institute of Atlanta in 1999. Means nothing now. It's been my grit that has made this happen, and it's been the support from the community. There's been so many times where we're going to close our doors. The community steps up. Right amount of money shows up at the right time, and we just keep operating, you know. And I try to do it. I try to take it day by day, week by week, and but really, it's a month to month thing, trying to make sure that the rent and the bills, and you know, I try to take care of my staff first, actually, and then the rent and the bills.
How did y'all make it through the pandemic, Jason?
The community. We had a couple of members that showed up really like that first 7 weeks, 8 weeks. Someone sponsored a free Coffee Friday event where somebody just wrote me a check, and I was able to give free coffee to the people, and then the money that was left over from that day got to go to the staff and the shop. Things like that. We have a Patreon page that helps out monthly. Lots of small pivots that made big changes. Baking, I didn't really bake much until the pandemic. We moved outside. We were a tent, a little coffee tent, and I made two types of scones and two types of muffins. We still make those types still, and now some of the other bakers get a little creative. I hire a bunch of artists, you know, they like to get creative. I started baking in the pandemic, and we were a music venue. And I saw that we operate more as a community event space. And so now I've switched how we book things here. Like, I don't book bands. Bands book us.
Okay.
If somebody wants to do a big party, a big release show, they come to me. We run it for them. And there's like an online rental form that you can fill out.
When you were first starting, did you find that you had resources that you could seek out as a small business owner wanting to open up a coffee shop?
I got an SBA loan.
Okay.
There's a local nonprofit called ACE, and they mainly work with minorities and women. I don't know how I got it. I think me being poor helps.
Poor is a majority these days.
And just having a vision that people could get behind. And
we've had Ace on the program, I want to say, and I was the remark I made about being poor, but understand this: for folks who are trying to start a business, who are not, a big Fortune 500, and those programs are so important in helping entrepreneurs and small businesses. So they helped you out.
That's I would not have been able to do this without that, for sure. It's just been real grateful. For that, and then for our monthly donators, the people we used to have rent parties before times. We'd be like, oh man, I don't have rent money, and then I just have like 10 or 15 musicians come up, play music all day, donate their time, and we'd have these big parties, and the rent parties were fun, especially when the weather was nice. We'd do them outside, but then I found that my coffee customers don't like it when we do things during the day like this because they're in there, they're working on the screenplays and
it's not about them,
right?
I'm just kidding.
And so I've been trying not to do events during cafe hours and having it to be rented out in the evening, and then the outer space can be rented out during the day.
This part of DeKalb County, which is unincorporated, and there's a lot of small businesses just up and down this street, a lot of mom and pops. You all, what concerns do you hear from them, and what concerns do you have? Do you worry about big development coming in? And I'm not going to mention the big name, but like a big box store that begins with a W that might come in or something like that.
Oh, they're down the street.
Oh, they're down the street.
Yeah, they're pretty close. I could use a sidewalk. We could use a caution light on this road, so that the Dearborn Animal Hospital and Wagalot, they come across the street a lot. Mm-hmm. So we got people with animals walking back and forth. Anyway, I welcome more people. It's more customers for me. I don't feel threatened by other coffee shops, in particular, just because we offer something totally different than anybody else.
And, those biscuits.
The biscuits, we roast, we serve Dancing Goats coffee.
Know them well.
They've been just so awful. Sorry. They've been so awesome.
You used
awesome.
To serve Dancing Goats
We used to, yeah. No, their customer service is the best, and they're all just some of the best people I know, and the coffee's always been excellent. And so we're really happy to brew that up.
What's the identity of this community? How would you define that?
Like the Decatur community
or the
coffee shop community?
Well, this community, because y'all are in unincorporated. So if I say Decatur, someone will send me an email. That ain't Decatur.
That's
so,
true. Yeah, my address is Decatur. Right.
And the mayor's over here, and she'll say, this ain't Decatur. And I'm like, I'm stuck. So I'll ask you the question.
I find that our community are very kind and compassionate. And I just see a lot of regulars in here, which is really cool. Hey guys and gals, and seeing the interactions of strangers here, I feel like it's just it's not like that everywhere.
Yeah.
And I think this atmosphere and our mission here to be okay with who you are, be okay with struggling, be okay with celebrating, and knowing that it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as we're treating each other.
It's a welcoming space, is what you're saying?
I feel like that is, it starts with the staff, I try to treat them like I want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And then we're always talking about how can we be better at customer service. Because we are a coffee shop, but we're a customer service business.
Yeah.
I want to make your day.
But you listen, we're the economy, depending on whom you ask, it's up and down, but inflation. And how have you been able to weather that? Have you had to raise your prices a little bit? Because you've had to pay more for certain things, I'm sure, from right down to the cups, to the eggs, and all that.
My SBA loan just went up, too.
Really?
My payback, something about interest rates, yeah. I have raised it a little bit. I've tried to just tighten up on what we do. Payroll is my biggest expense, so I'm always trying to encourage us to be more productive and more efficient in what we're doing. I'm getting better every day, but incrementally. Mm-hmm. and that's like that's all I ask for the staff and myself is just try to be a little better each day. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some wonderful things happen just with this small incremental growth. I'm proud. I'm proud of it for sure.
Jason, you mentioned that several occasions you thought you were going to have to shut down and close.
Yeah, no, yeah. It feels like every 3 months I'm like, oh God, where'd all that money go? right now we're like day to day. It's,
really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to spin a sad tale, but you know, small businesses are hard to run. Yeah. You know, a coffee shop like this is hard to run when the bottom line isn't my priority, which it should be as a business owner. making that positive impact means more to me.
So what do you need, Jason? Do you need more folks to come in? Do you need to think about your those events that you do? Do you need to maybe think about what you're charging, you know? Because this is it's a huge part of the community. And I know folks would be sad if you close the doors, but at the same time, you're a business person, so.
Yeah, I mean, I've invested so much time and effort and into this that there's no way I'm quitting. And I know that that's the only way that this can really fail is if I just give up or stop trying. And, yeah, if they come in and shut me down or say, you know, you have too much money here or this is doing this wrong or whatever, that's fine. I can handle that. But I couldn't handle, like, looking my kids in the face knowing that I didn't give 100%. And it's hard. It's hard going without. It's hard navigating, you know, which bills to pay what, you know, when. I feel like we're moving in a positive direction with the way we do event rental now. Mm-hmm. It's like on the website, you just fill out a rental form, and then I get back to you, and I don't have to gatekeep music here. Mm-hmm. It's just like the community says, hey, you want to do this at this date? Boom, let's do it. And that's been working, and it's been really great. Got a variety show this Friday. We've got a wedding reception Saturday. We're yeah. doing a benefit show on Sunday for Amplify My Community, which benefits the Decatur Education Foundation. Mm-hmm. We're going to be singing some Elliott Smith songs. Actually, Blake and Ian behind the bar are going to be singing, along with me, some Elliott Smith songs Sunday, right where we're sitting.
Will Wallers be here a year from now?
I hope so. I'll be here a year from now.
Yeah.
I don't know about the place. I think so. Every time we've gotten in a tight spot, like I said, something magical has happened. I believe the intention of this place and the heart of this place is separate from me now. Mm-hmm. And I am another thing I'm proud of is that I've created something that is taking care of itself, and it's the community input making those magical connections.
Let me ask you this, because with elected officials and what's happening in Washington with Congress, that's a whole nother segment, but with all the back and forth and folks arguing, you feel like that what's always gets left out is the plight of the folks like you. And you feel like sometimes your interest is not even being considered, you know, the plight of a small business. I mean, do you pay attention to that?
I don't pay much attention to it.
Yeah.
I believe like how much information we get, all the news is kind of pumped at us. It's distracting for me, mm-hmm. and I get overwhelmed with other problems outside of my circle. Mm-hmm. And so I really try to focus on, you know, me, my family, my kids, my friends, my community, you know, and work in circles like that. If I have the time and energy to help somebody outside of that, mm-hmm. then I will. But I really got to focus all of my energy on what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis and not politics. Or
you mentioned mental health being part of this in terms of why you wanted to start Walls. Your support, your mental health, who do you turn to when the plight of being a small business owner gets a little bit too too tough at times. You
I go to the river.
It's not a bad place.
I go stand in the river. I like to pick fish out of the river and put it back. I call it fly fishing.
Yeah.
I like to sit in nature and notice things and kind of, I don't know, just process. And if I don't get that time alone, I'll notice my brain gets a little too anxious, yeah, or the depression will get a little too heavy. I've got a therapist that I'll go to, mm-hmm, when I can afford it. That's where I try. And I've got some like great staff and friends, yeah, that kind of, I don't know, we lean on each other, I feel like.
I understand that. Let's get to another big important topic, which is the drink of the day. would you mind telling the audience what the drink of the day is?
We have a lavender mocha, the Rose Scott Special. And I believe it has oat milk. Is that right?
Yes.
You make sure you ask for the oat milk.
Yes.
And we were going to do rosé, but I felt like it was too early. It was too early.
I would say something, but my boss is here.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell my boss I'm drinking this early. Just kidding. This is coffee.
Jason, as we begin to wrap up, and you talked about why you wanted to start Wallers here, and you look at the room, it's packed here. This is your community. You know, what do you want them to know how important they are?
Oh, man, I am so grateful. It's every day. It's nice to see the regulars. It's nice to hear, oh, it's my first time. What can I get? I honestly, like, I could not have done this alone at all. Like I told you, I'm not smart. I don't have money. I don't have the looks. And now I have glasses, so it's kind of helping. It's not me. Maybe I'm a facilitator, mm-hmm, but it's been the community that has kept this place open. It got us open.
Yeah.
And it keeps me like given that 100%. You know, my 100% is going to look different every day, mm-hmm, but I can guarantee you I'm doing that every day. Is,
well,
trying.
We want you to stay here every day, and we appreciate it. Jason Waller, everyone.
Thank you, Rose.
Jason. Best of luck to you. Much continued success. We'll come back, okay?
Awesome.
We'll
Thank
come
you.
Back. This is Closer Look Live Coffee Conversation with Rose Scott in unincorporated DeKalb County. We're back in a moment.
Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you love Atlanta, you can invest in the big picture. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
And Closer Look continues now from WABE in Atlanta. We're broadcasting live from Waller's Coffee Shop. It's our monthly series, Coffee Conversations, in partnership with the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. I am Rose Scott, where we hear from community leaders and elected officials. Now, as I said earlier, we're technically about a third of a mile outside the city of Decatur. So we appreciate our next guest coming way over here, making the time. She is the mayor for the city of Decatur, Mayor Patty Garrett. Thank you.
Thank you.
You made it very clear to our producer, Daniel, that this is technically not the city of Decatur. But DeKalb is so, not unusual where you have unincorporated areas. And for people that may not understand, like, how does all this work? How does some portions remain unincorporated? And, like, could you all come over here and say, hey, we want this, and it magically become city of Decatur?
Well, it's a little harder than that, let me just say. So, and the only reason I even mentioned that was because I just wanted you know, I try to let people know. And I love Waller's. I live about a mile and a half from here. I'm really close. And but a lot of places have a Decatur mailing address. Mm-hmm. And many of those places are in unincorporated DeKalb County. And I have a great relationship with my fellow elected officials in DeKalb County. When I get, for example, an invitation to do a ribbon cutting in unincorporated DeKalb County with a Decatur mailing address, I always say, you know, I'm so glad you're opening a new business in DeKalb County, but the better people would be the DeKalb County mm-hmm. officials mm-hmm. because you are part of mm-hmm. unincorporated DeKalb County, and I feel like they're the ones that really should be a part of that ceremony. I attend things many mm-hmm. times in unincorporated DeKalb County and new businesses opening, and certainly go to businesses mm-hmm. in DeKalb County. I was at the State of the County address yeah. yesterday with CEO Michael Thurmond, and I have a really great relationship. Yeah. And I, you know, in terms of annexation, it is something that when we consider doing something like an annexation, when we incorporate something into the city of Decatur, then becomes on our tax rolls, and it is we have to work with our school system. We have to work with the county to see if it makes sense for that to happen. And the city of Decatur is only a little over 4.5 square
small.
Miles. It's very small.
You can walk it.
You can walk it. Yeah. I do walk it. So,
would you like for your city to be just a little bit bigger in terms of its footprint? Or are you okay with where it is now?
Well, we have a lot of conversations about annexation. I think at some point we're only a little over 4.5 square miles. We have a population of 25,000, and we've had these conversations about annexation. I think it has to be a broad conversation that I wouldn't certainly be the only decision maker, mm-hmm. and I think at some point it might make sense for the city to be slightly larger.
Are you able then, do you feel, with where it is now, because with affordable housing and housing issues, and you certainly understand that, you worry about the city of Decatur being too big, and then you really have to start having these conversations about annexation and just having more space for folks.
Right. I mean, that's one of our challenges. How do we accommodate growth equitably, mm-hmm. and how do we make room, even if we stay within our same footprint, how do we make room, how do we be a welcoming, inclusive mm-hmm. city and have spaces for people who want to live in Decatur? And I think you had the Mayor Pro Tem talk about the missing middle housing. How do we expand the amount and availability of housing in our existing neighborhoods? And I think that's a first step. And I think the annexation comes up periodically mm-hmm. and kind of ebbs and flows. I think at this point, we're really focusing sort of where we are mm-hmm. and how do we do the best that we can do within that 4.5 square mile, a little bigger than that footprint.
Do you know the average medium home price in the city of Decatur?
I think it is over $600,000. So it is...
And where's the affordable part?
That's not the average minimum house price,
right.
But that's well, I mean, it's
or is the $600,000 affordable?
I don't think it's affordable. Yeah. I think that there are some homes that that will list for less than that. Mm-hmm. I think the issue a lot of times is that there's just right now, there's very little inventory.
Yeah.
There's not a lot. And we have a desirable school system. Mm-hmm. We're small. And so we're having to find other ways to try to have affordability with, with a land trust, with the missing middle.
Yeah.
So how do we crack that egg, knowing that we can't really move the market just you know, in terms of what's out there for sale and what it will sell for.
You can't move the market, but you can have some input if new developers want to come in. I mean, I remember looking at downtown Decatur just even 10 years ago. I mean, you all have more housing, but it's not exactly affordable, but
right.
You all can have some input in that. When you, if there's new development that wants to come into the city of Decatur, they say, hey, we want to put up some high-rise, you know, condos, what are you asking them?
We have a required 10% affordability component, so inclusionary housing. I think with the cost of construction now and with where, you know, interest rates are, I think that is an amount that we hope can work in the market, and we have our first units that will have that 10%, but we also made it for any development that is 5 units or more. Mm-hmm. So anywhere from, like, if you're building a 10 town home smaller development, it still has to meet that 10% affordability. So it is not just in a larger apartment complex, but it is in any multifamily units that are being built.
That was my next question, because we can have a whole another conversation about single families only, multifamily housing, and folks will say, well, we welcome new housing, but we want it to represent the community, and then you get into all of that. How do you balance the desires of different communities, different folks? In other words, in my neighborhood, not my neighborhood, we don't want this here. We want it here, but it has to look like this.
Right. And or we want it in Decatur, maybe just not next door to me, right? So
yes.
I think we have an elected body that and a support of the majority of the community to make bold decisions and to do things for the good of the whole. And with our missing middle, we're reintroducing what was embedded for years in the city of Decatur. Every neighborhood has some older duplexes, triplexes, mm-hmm. and quadplexes. And how do we assure that the way we assure it's going to fit in is it will have the same requirements than mm-hmm. as if a single family home was going there, the same, you know, look and feel, the same lot coverage, mm-hmm. and that sort of thing.
You get pushback? Do you get people saying, well, the city of Decatur is just too small, Mayor. We don't really need more. Do you get that?
Well, what we're doing right now with our downtown master plan, and I actually spoke to, this is government month, I think, in the elementary schools. So I've been making the rounds with the elementary schools. And one of the things I've said is, do you ever hear anyone talk about we have too much traffic in Decatur? Mm-hmm. And every hand in the room goes up. And I say, well, you know, I moved here over 20 years ago. Most of you in this room are 8. And so I've been here a lot longer than probably most of your families. Does that mean I get to use those roads first? Mm-hmm. You know, is there a pecking order in the city of Decatur in terms of who's been here the longest?
But there's a perception, because I get emails and I come to Decatur mm-hmm. and I talk to folk. And a lot of times folks don't even know who I am. I'm just asking questions, just roaming around downtown. And I hear conversations, and people are very protective of their communities. And they want diversity, but they want it on their own terms. They don't want any public housing or assistance. But that's not bringing in diversity if folks want to be able to dictate who gets to come in based on income or perception.
Well, I mean, we have a very active housing authority, and we have housing in the housing authority has housing in a number of locations mm-hmm. in the city of Decatur. We are working to put 66 additional units at Legacy Park,
okay.
working with the Decatur Housing Authority, and that's phase one. Mm-hmm. There will eventually be 132.
Okay.
But the pushback I usually hear is about overcrowding mm-hmm. of the schools or traffic. And so I think, I mean, those are some legitimate concerns, but I think, you know, we have to make sure that we can address those. And then we've lost a lot of diversity. And how do we, racial diversity and socioeconomic mm-hmm. diversity. And so what our strategic plan is pretty clear. Our vision statement states that Decatur will foster a thriving, welcoming, mm-hmm. equitable community for all now and in the future. And how are we serving those who are future generations?
And so then at the top of that list, when you talked about what you cannot control and what you can, what do you hope to implement now that can maybe speak to that mission, that vision that you just talked about?
Well, I think the housing at Legacy Park will break ground probably this summer. Okay. The 10% inclusionary housing ordinance has been, we adopted
it. You can make that
it.
Like 20%?
From what I understand, mm-hmm. I'm not a developer, mm-hmm. But that the numbers mm-hmm. won't work. I mean, getting 10% is
well, the developers tell you the number won't work.
Well, I think
they want a bigger number to work for them. But
we are right. I mean, the developers that we've been working with, some of them have been willing to go up some on that. And but I served on the local leadership housing mm-hmm. action committee for ARC, and we had a lot of frank conversations about things that will and won't work. And there are people in the development world that work with nonprofits mm-hmm. that work in helping to fund, like the Atlanta Neighborhood Development mm-hmm. Partnership is helping us with our cottage courts. They confirm that it is very difficult to meet some of those. So
in terms of incentives, do you feel like y'all could maybe have more or less incentives, maybe more mandates? And also to follow up to that, do you believe in a binding agreement with communities when these big developers come in? And now some people say, oh, as soon as you mention a binding agreement, a developer is going to run. But there have been some developers who are okay to that, you know, because they come in, they promise the community something, they build it, and the community gets nothing.
So, I mean, the binding agreements that we have with developers that come in are just that, to get a certificate of occupancy. Okay. Those requirements really have to be met. Okay. And so I feel like that that's something. The city of Decatur has historically not offered incentives. Mm-hmm. We have helped pay for, we're helping pay for the infrastructure with the housing authority for putting in, you have to have roads, mm-hmm. sewer, water, electricity, all of those kinds of things that add to the cost of a development. Yeah. And so we're helping fund that piece of that affordable housing.
Okay. I got to ask this because I got 18,000 emails about the baby Kroger.
Okay.
And if you're listening in, you know, Albany of Aldosta, like, what's the baby Kroger? I got emails, you know, like, I could do something. Like, Rose, please bring back Kroger. That was huge for a lot of, and Kroger, if you're listening, okay. send these emails to right. y'all. But that closing.
So
was,
can you do something? Oh, yeah.
Yes. Okay. Kroger will be back tomorrow.
All right. Thank you.
But that was a huge loss for so many, particularly older residents. Anything can you talk about? Is it something else coming in there, or why did Kroger leave? What did they tell you?
So we read about it when they.
Oh, they didn't tell you then. You just read about it.
We read about it, and they still have 2 years on that lease. I think it, from what I understand, it was a part of a larger strategy of Kroger to close some stores. And because we weren't the only one closed, mm-hmm. but we were not, because they still had that 2-year lease, mm-hmm. we were not aware that they were planning to close the store. Our Downtown Development Authority has, we understand the need for and the desire for a smaller, to have another grocery store in there. What we have found from larger, like, chain brand name grocery stores is that space doesn't meet their requirements. It's only 17,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. They usually require a certain footprint. They require so much parking and they require so much frontage, none of which meets that criteria. But we are looking to try to partner with like an independent grocer, a smaller grocer who could come in to meet that need. Before anything does go in there, we have been we had a little like electric shuttle that was partially sponsored by Publix that we ran 3 days a week to get
we've
people
had them
to
on the show.
Grocery store, and that was a pilot project for 3 months. We're now starting another pilot project, I believe, for 4 months to have a Decatur shuttle. It's called Go Decatur Shuttle.
Of course it is.
Using our own 12-passenger vans. One of the things that we heard from the first shuttle, they were great little electric vehicles, but they were not ADA accessible. Our vans are ADA accessible, and we've expanded the route so that you can, if you want to go to Legacy Park and take a walk, the van can take you there, can pick you back up. It has Oakhurst Business District, multiple locations in downtown Decatur, the YMCA, if you want to get some fitness in and not have to take your car and try to park at the Decatur DeKalb Y, then you can ride the shuttle. And it's based on the data that we got from usage. We dropped the Friday. It's going to be, and plus our Parks and Rec department needs those vans on Friday, but we're running it Mondays and Wednesdays, like 9:30 to 1, and it'll pick up in these. We'll have two vans circling, so we're going to see about ridership, and it will go to the Publix shopping center.
Outside a grocery store, is there anything else you all need in the city of Decatur that you feel like this really not only be beneficial for the community, but maybe even help with some of those issues we just talked about? Like, what's missing, and or do you have too many barbecue places? Probably not enough, as far as I'm concerned. But, do you need another ice cream shop?
So part of what we're doing to figure that out is we're doing a downtown master plan. And so it's the first master plan that we've had really, I think, since 1982 that just focused on the downtown corridor. So we're asking residents, what's missing in downtown
Let's
Decatur?
Let's ask them. What's missing? Just yell it out. What's missing in downtown Decatur, y'all? Trader Joe's, parking, bathrooms.
Okay.
You have free public Wi-Fi, right?
We do.
That
we
I
do.
Love.
Yeah, we do have public Wi-Fi. So, and we have... There are parking garages in City of Decatur. We have tried to, but we also have three MARTA stations within that 4.5 square mile. So we have pretty regular transportation. And the Go Decatur shuttle, one of the things that came out of our strategic plan from 2020 was, could we have a circulator shuttle? So can we expand this? When MARTA had the MARTA Reach program, it was right down the street from me, pulled it up on my app, hopped on MARTA Reach, rode to the MARTA station, caught the train to go to the airport. It was great. You know, are there ways that we can help people get around? We work on our sidewalks. We have bike paths, but we know not everybody can do that.
Sure.
But are there ways that we can get more people out of their cars, either by sharing a van or less dependency just on single occupancy or single vehicles?
Where do you see either the city of Decatur or just this region where we're at right now? Where do you see this community in the next maybe 2 years? What concerns you?
Well, I think the affordable housing piece continues to bubble to the top of the list. I think looking at all of the decisions that are made not just in the city of Decatur, but the metro region are being seen through an equity lens. I think the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, I think everything that we've experienced really in a unique way over the last 3 years, and in a way that I think really made us sit up and decide the time is now. How do we address that? How do we address the inequities in our communities? How do we make sure that decisions we make about a circulator shuttle, about where our public parks are, our schools, everything is looked at through that lens?
Right. And you've been mayor since 2016, so you want to keep at it?
So, well,
that got some news?
I get that question from Decaturish occasionally. So, you know, in City of Decatur, I'm elected for my position on the city commission and then elected by my peers as mayor in January. So we do have to work and play well with others. You know, my vote doesn't count any more than anyone else's vote. Okay. I'm one out of five. I vote on everything. I would not like to be a mayor who only voted to break a tie, because that means you're only voting on things that are really controversial. Right. So, but I, and the system has worked well for us. And so, but I'm in my, this is my fourth term on the city commission. And so, it's been, a great job, one that I never really dreamed I would have. And, so I make that decision sort of year to year, but I love serving the
good
city.
Good save, Mayor Garrett.
So, I've learned a few things as mayor.
So in other words, just stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Right.
All right. That's what do you want to say to the folks here about your commitment, though, in the time that you still are here as mayor?
I am committed to working to, I think, make Decatur the best place it can be, and doing that with the involvement of the community. And we are celebrating our 200th anniversary this year, and I think we have lots of great bicentennial celebrations. I happen to bring you a little notebook with the logo, so that you will, and stay tuned. All of our events typically are listed on Decaturish, and so we've been trying to incorporate that celebration into every single special event that we're having, and it's gonna, it gives us the opportunity not only to celebrate but to recognize some of the inequities that have been a part of our past and how to tell the whole story about Decatur.
Absolutely. City of Decatur Mayor Patty Garrett, thank you so much for taking time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And there's more Closer Look, more coffee conversation with Rose Scott after this. We're back in a moment. Closer Look continues from WABE in Atlanta. We are live sipping on some coffee inside Waller's Coffee Shop. I am Rose Scott. Welcome, everybody. I am now joined by Dan Wisenhunt, based here in DeKalb County. He's the founder and operator of Decaturish.com. And I got to tell you, Dan, I've known you for a few years now. How do you do it? You're like almost a one, two, three-person band over there covering DeKalb County.
Well, Rose, isn't Rose the best, everybody? Just want to say, she is the best. So I wanted to tell this story. So I started, this is our 10th year in business in Decatur. We have a business license in Decatur. I live in an unincorporated cab because I can't afford to live in Decatur. And and before we were anybody, Rose was having us on her show saying, hey, come talk to us about what you're doing. So Decaturish would not exist without Rose.
Aww.
Period. So for sure. You know, we get by, you know, it helps that I have no life. And I'm sort of a degenerate workaholic. So that helps. But you know, I love what I do, you know, and I can't fire myself, which is great.
That is true. And by the way, Dan's beautiful baby boy, JP, was the first Closer Look baby that came to the station. He was like, what?
Just, 8 years ago.
Yeah, he was little. And so he's technically in the top three, because Samantha, who is also one of our producers, she has the cutest baby. And then LaShawn, my producer, just had a baby, Larvine, and he's the cutest baby. So JP is still in the top three. He's up there.
But I'm his dad. I wouldn't say he's the cutest baby, but he's funny.
So you heard all the conversations we heard today, and I know you cover all of this. Is it housing, transit, public safety? What do your readers most want to hear about and keep you accountable for holding others accountable for?
Food. Yeah. They really love – every time we publish a story about a restaurant, it is like rocket fuel for the website. I'm not here to tell readers what they should or should not like. I will say that Zoe Seiler is our first full-time reporter, and she is celebrating 2 years with us.
Yeah.
2 years she's been putting up with me and Decatur-ish. But, you know, one of the things when we talk about the newsroom is, you know, you can do a food story. It takes you 15 minutes tops to do it. And then we can cover the stuff that we really want to talk about, which is affordable housing, what's going on in our local government, why I'm mad at the DeKalb School Board today, you know, just the general things. But food, crime would probably be a close second. That Go Decatur Shuttle story, people love reading about that. Yeah. We got all kinds of questions. You never know day-to-day what people are going to kind of take an interest in, so that's always fun.
And you've covered education in for DeKalb County Schools, and it's been interesting. You also have been very vocal about, you know, when you all work hard, and I understand this, you work hard, you enterprise a story. Zoe broke a big major story, and we had her on. And then other outlets might borrow your story without...
Well, this is a great way to segue. So we actually have a partnership with Atlanta News First, which is used to be known as CBS Atlanta, the CBS affiliate. So we share a lot of content with them. And I just came to the conclusion that, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. So we have a partnership with them. We help each other out. I help them with stories. They name drop us. So now whenever the other TV stations, which I shall not name, come looking to us for help on a story, I say, oh, okay. And I turn around and I contact Atlanta News First and say, hey, this TV station I won't name publicly is trying to get this story. Would you like it instead? And they say, sure. And that's how it works.
Dan is so messy. It's good mess, though.
We have fun. My job is nothing if not fun.
But you're also a small business in a sense. So.
Yeah, that Jason Waller tugging my heartstrings. Talk about I also have no earthly idea what I am doing. I do not have a business degree. I started Decatur-ish mainly to get a job at other places. I wasn't trying to start my own business. Just somewhere along the way, the work sort of kept perpetuating itself. And people started reading it. People started supporting it. You know, we got 2,500 paying subscribers.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Crazy. I can.
That's crazy to me. You know, like we've got 2,500 people in our community who really for nothing in return, although we give them an e-edition and we give them freebies and stuff like that. Just want to see the news, and so we actually have started a new subscription drive. We're trying to get 700 more by July 1. We registered a great URL called supportyourlocalnews.com, which I can't believe was unregistered. So go tell your friends to supportyourlocalnews.com
and support your local media station.
A mere $6 a month.
Okay, now you're getting into my like a pledge drive for Decatur's here.
I don't know how y'all do that, but
yeah, I don't know how we do it either. But I've been doing it for 20 years now. But hyperlocal is so important, Dan. And you know, as a fellow journalist, you know, we get pushback from people that want you to cover something specifically next door to them. You know, how do you balance that with requests from people? But you're also covering DeKalb County, the entire county.
You know, I don't find that there's a whole lot of distance between what people ask us to do and what I can do. On occasion, I'll be like, you know, that would make a great letter to the editor. Why don't you send me, you know, and I let them kind of do the work for me, which is a nice trick I came up with. Kids, parents wanted us to cover Decatur sports. Now, I'm not a big sports guy in general. I didn't play a lot of sports in high school.
Wait a minute. You post about Alabama football the time.
Now, but back
I'm
in the day.
I'm not a big sports guy.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Not in the sense that maybe other people are. And so the parents, you know, if we try to dip our toe into sports, you know, I'd get a bunch, why didn't you write about my kid? You know, you'd always get complaints. So what I figured out is I hire a kid at the high school to write it. And see, nobody's going to complain about a kid from the high school writing it, you know, whatever's in it. I'm like, well, you're going to have to talk to 18-year-old David, you know, who, and tell him your concerns. And I never hear anything. And so that's what I do. Every year I find a couple of sports writers at the high school, and I pay them a little bit, and they come out, and they like the clips. And although the kids coming out today are smarter than I ever was, so yeah. I usually try to tell them to go do something else career-wise.
Let's talk about the state of our industry for a moment. I spoke to some students at Georgia State a couple weeks ago, and they asked me about my concerns. And you know, my concerns are that we will get to a place where people just won't have faith in credible news outlets. That's a big concern for me.
Yeah, I think it's important, though, to make a distinction between what's happening at places like CNN and Fox and MSNBC and what's happening at the local level. Yeah. Because you can't go out and, you know, have coffee with the person who's telling you the news on CNN. You could probably find me in any coffee shop. You know, people find me whether I want to be found or not sometimes. But I think there's a big difference between what's going on at the local level. And I'm glad you brought this up, because mm-hmm. I get a lot of, are you worried about, you know, ChatGPT? Are you worried about, I'm like, unless ChatGPT can go sit at a 6-hour city commission meeting and then ask people questions afterward, we're going to be fine. Yeah. reality is that I might have inadvertently stumbled into one of the more stable industries now, because every once in a while when I would just, you know, hate my life, I'd go look at some copywriter job. Well, now you don't need people to do that. You just get on ChatGPT, and so those jobs are gone. So I actually think, oddly enough, the future, it ain't bad. Not as bad as you'd think.
All right. Dan Wisenhunt, he is the founder and editor and creator and chief operator and everything else. Decaturish.com, I appreciate you, as Rose. Always.
We appreciate you, Rose. Yeah. Rose Scott.
And I know, sad as it is, that's it for this special edition of Closer Looks Coffee Conversation. Got some folks I want to thank first. Today's live stream was produced by Samantha Killebrew. Our field producers are Perry Patterson and Brian Simmons. Our engineers, Sawyer Vanderwerth, Shelly Canavy, back at Studio One. Tiffany Griffith is our Closer Looks supervising producer. Daniel Razel, LaShawn Hudson. Special thanks to Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. Waller's Coffee Shop, I have to thank Jason, Blake, Ian, Prescott, and of course, the reason why we're here, you all. Thank you all so much for being here. We really appreciate it. On behalf of WABE, I say thank you. Next month, we're at Golden Drops Coffee Shop. Y'all know where that is? Good, because tell me, because I don't. But we're going to be there. You're listening to WABE from Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. Thank you all.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WAB politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WAB politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WAB.org or your favorite podcast platform.